There we go. Good morning, everybody. This particular presentation is made on the basis of health literacy, which in part means to put things simply, simply put. And also in my professional career, I try to report things from the standpoint, the viewpoint of the women that I study. So the title of this is from a question that was like a rhetorical question given back to me from one of the mothers, which was, what is keeping me from getting prenatal care? And that was what I was asked to explore in Maryland when Department of Health came to me and said, the Maryland General Assembly passed a law that made it easier for women who were eligible for Medicaid to get on what's called medical assistance in Maryland and to receive early care. Our goal is to get them enrolled within the first trimester and get them in to see somebody in the first trimester. It's been a year now. They haven't come. You tell us why not. So we looked at Prince George's County, which is a county that, if you looked at Washington, D.C. and thought of it this shape, Prince George's County comes right around that part of it. It is both the wealthiest African-American county in the United States and has some of the poorest people in the United States living there. It is the county where our university is located, and our president has us very focused on the community in which we live. So we went in to talk to 18 to 24-year-old mothers, because these were the ones who were producing the highest risk pregnancies, not the teen mothers, this age group, the young adult women. You can see here fairly quickly the serious nature of the problem in Prince George's County, here accounting for about a third of the infant deaths in the state of Maryland. So that was the reason why the state wanted to focus there in particular. They came to us and asked us if we would help them look at their promotional materials about the change in the law, and at their enrollment form, and at some of the other materials that they were using to see if, from a health literacy standpoint, there was a problem with the materials. We also were asked to go and talk to mothers and some of the workers to see from their perspective, why did they think people were not enrolling? What were the barriers? And so we, in fact, did. We had focus groups and interviews, and this was what the state asked us to do, to find out what health messages they should be giving through using which kinds of channels or means so that they could increase the health, through a health literacy approach, they could increase enrollment in prenatal care. This, in basic, is the answer to that research question, that the messages need to speak to the benefits of early care. Clearly, the women that we talked to were not very clear on that, about why they were going, or why they needed to go, or what was the rush. And you know that, if that's your world, and you think it's so obvious, well, because, dot, 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 dot. But it wasn't so obvious to these women. It also takes a little while for them to figure out they're pregnant. Then, depending upon whether or not this is a pregnancy they wanted or not, and you just told us a third of them might not have been, you gotta figure out what you're gonna do about that. And then you have to figure out what next. And if you don't feel any particular rush about that or particular need to work through that, as these mothers were not in general, that could be one of the challenges. So it is a knowledge challenge, I guess you might say, that from a health literacy standpoint, more particularly in understanding. And the health literacy definition that I use is that people understand it, they get it, and they get it in such a way that they'll act upon it. So there's some kind of gap going on, at least based upon the women we talked with. The State Department uses their internet as a means of disseminating information, in particular about the change in this law. We did have women actually accessing it, because we asked if they did. They found it very difficult, as did our entire research team, to go through that State Department, figure it out whether it fits you or not, and figure out what you were supposed to do because of that. It was clearly not intuitive, and by their own acknowledgement, it's sort of been a collection of things that have been added and put up over time and makes okay sense to the people who put it up, but not necessarily the user. And one of the goals even of health reform is that we're more user-focused, and that's particularly true of health literacy. And then it was clear that there needed to be the use of interpersonal and community channels of communication. They were not being optimized. And this became very clear when we really began to understand that there was old information present in the channels of communication that were interpersonal, including among the staff, and particularly among the significant others that these young women listened to. And you know who a lot of those folks are. Some of them are inside the family, outside of the family. There are people that they listened to who had old information. And so they were, in some cases, passing on something that was incorrect. So how did we get about answering this? Well, we did use some standardized assessments for looking at educational materials, and there's many of those available to you. Certainly, just all you have to do is look at health literacy literature, and you'll find them. We use SAM. SAM is a standardized assessment of materials. And the bottom line was that none of the materials were met all of the standards, and none of them did not meet any standards. They were somewhere there in the middle. But the biggest problem was probably not those written materials. Though we found, and just to make sure it might come home to you, some of them had the same clip art on them, the same look to them, but they were delivering a different message. Now, if people get a lot of their information from visual, then here from the beginning was a confusing piece of information. And these two documents were the key documents in getting their message out. And so, again, it was probably by convenience, and it seemed to work for them. So it's not anything to condemn this. All of us have done something like that. But it's rather important to take a look at how are we packaging messages if we do use print material. But as we went through learning, we probably discovered that, we did discover that not a single one of those pieces of print materials had any of the mothers we talked to seen. So it really wouldn't have mattered if they'd have met all the standards or not. So what we did find is that very first word, confusion existed. Confusion among the employees, confusion among community people, confusion among the mothers, even confusion among our team when we sat down trying to make sense of the qualitative study that we had done. And we began to realize that people were using different words and terms. You know, we don't talk about Medicaid, we talk about medical assistance, but medical assistance to the general population is not a program. It's, you know, not capital M-A, it's M-A. And so even terms like that were throwing people off. That information wasn't reaching people in a timely way, and it wasn't getting there through easily accessed channels of communication, such as their communities of faith and other places within the communities where these young adult women were turning for information. And there were clearly huge delays in processing initial applications for appointments and for getting those that application for medical assistance processed through. So even if you had gone in at week 6, the odds were stacked against you that you would see a physician before your second trimester. And there were a lot of reasons why it was backed up. So our task they had asked us to do was to say, well, what could you do to reduce, remove, or prevent the confusion that is there? And so we went through a process where the people we talked with helped us to figure some of this out. And so we then qualitatively came up with this list. Yes, you do need to modify your current materials, and you ought to do that to meet literacy standards. You may want to create new materials with users in mind to increase the likelihood they'll be used. None of the materials had been pre-tested with the people that you might have been targeting because we, quote, don't have time, or two, we don't have access. I don't believe either one of them. We have time and money to put out materials that are not being used. We need to rethink that a little bit. And if you say we don't have access, that's what those women are there at those community clinics. We had time to talk with them. There'd be a way to figure out how to work with them to see if it was printed, or even to take a look at the computer to see how well they could work their way through that. Design staff development and communication plans so that all employees and community workers are aware of eligibility, care options, and routes to do in a timely manner. Not everyone was. They were frustrated. It wasn't, you know, they knew they didn't know. They weren't getting messages quickly and clearly. So it wasn't just a problem of the women they were trying to serve. It was an internal problem as well. Notice my bottom line, evaluate all for effectiveness. There was no evidence of evaluation throughout any of this. So how would you know where some of the breakdowns were occurring unless you were monitoring and looking for that? We suggested that they design a visual map of actions of what you need to take, and this came out from the mothers. Just show me, here I am. If this is my situation, then this is my, these are my options. If this, then this, and this. That might sound a lot of left brain, but not with some of the sketches we did. And we didn't get on to completing this, but I think it could be done. Such that, literally, if you had that, you're all working off the same page, including the people that are employed to help folks through this. We suggested also testing the Health Navigator model, perhaps in a different way than maybe you do when you're thinking in terms of getting through a hospital, but just in getting through, getting access to your care, figuring out your insurance, figuring out where some of the problems are. There are women who've been through this before. That's just it. They were talking to some women who'd been through it in a different way, but some of these new women going through it now might become people who could help other women in their community. And provide professional development to incorporate health literacy. Now I would suggest that they turn to the new universal toolkit on health literacy that would help their own staff work their way through some of the things they could do on their part. Lest we put all the burden on those we're there to serve, we must remember that sometimes it's how we serve them that becomes problematic. We're hoping then that as a result of that study, they put together their recommendations as a part of their own assessment, and they intend to make some changes. We have been working with the Improved Pregnancy Coalition, about 250 groups who are working on improving pregnancy, and they're working their way through some of these recommendations. And we do hope to see some changes in both the materials and how they are communicating, as well as potentially even some changes in state policy as we adapt now to healthcare reform. So this was actually quite timely because of the changes that will come with our medical assistance, Medicaid, as you know it. And of course, that's where we're headed, the long-term outcome.